Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, it's the Greg Fogue and John Burton Show.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
who wants to party?
It's on the radio.
Hold on to your hat.
There are a bunch of drama queens that spend an hour talking and 20 minutes jumping around while close up.
This is the Greg Fogue and John Burton Show, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hold it!
Call now at 844-5600.
We are created to serve a singular purpose for which we will go to any length to fulfill.
Now, here are your hosts, Greg Fogue and News Channel 5's John Burton.
Good Friday morning to you. How are you doing? Welcome in. Greg Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel, usually in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. We're at Goggin Cold Hall in Smyrna. Adam Johnson back in the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Crazy Charlie on site right here. Good morning, gentlemen, Charlie and John.
Hey, what's up?
Glad you made it.
I'm glad to be here. It was quite an adventure getting here. We had a big crash on 40, and that kind of slowed things down a little bit, but I'm here, ready to go, happy to be here at my first maiden voyage here to beautiful Goggin Cold Hall, and it's great to be here. Just want to thank all the people for having us here this morning. What a night last night in the wild, wacky world of sports. I know we're going to get into all of it, but it was quite an evening, quite a Thursday evening.
Well, let's don't bury the lead. Predators 4, Flames 3, Michael Granlund. With 1/10 of a second, sends it into overtime, and then he has the game winner as well. 16th and 17th goal, 11 goals since the coaching change. And so the Preds get a couple points. The Flames get the one for the overtime loss. But right now the Preds, after last night, man, you by the hair of your chinny-chin-chin, Charlie.
Listen, there's no more margin of error, 1/10 of a second left in the game when the Nashville Predators come away with the tie, and they absolutely earn this point. And you've got to give it up to the Nashville Predators, largely outplayed for large portions of the first and second period, fight back in the third period to tie the game before giving up the lead on what was maybe one of the worst line changes I've seen in a very long time. There's no worse time to get caught in a bad line change than with 47 seconds to go in a tie game. The Calgary Flames in transition are just incredible. Go right through, slice the D, take the lead, and then what do the Preds do? What we haven't seen in an incredibly long time. They fight back. Resiliency. With 10 seconds left down by a goal, it didn't even look like they were going to get a shot. All of a sudden, by a combination of Calgary kind of easing up a little bit and the Predators continuing to jam, Philip Forsberg misses an opportunity where he tries to shoot it off the defenseman's leg and in, which ends up benefiting the Predators because the second opportunity is the right play, the pass to Granlund on the doorstep for the slam home with 1/10 of a second left. And then, fellas, Mikhail Granlund decides he wants to be the fourth player in NHL history to accomplish a feat, which is scoring the tying goal in the final 10 seconds of regulation and then scoring the game winner in overtime. Another incredible individual effort by him. He carried a puck that was an unwilling passenger all the way through the neutral zone. It was bouncing all over the place. He got it through the D, gets one clean touch on it. He beats Big Save Dave. And by the way, Big Save Dave's going to need some new sticks because he broke all of them on the way off the bench at the end of last night. And for the Nashville Predators, that's something we have not seen a lot of at Bridgestone Arena this season. For the fans that stuck it out to the bitter end, that ended up being the sweetest of endings, you get a stripe for sticking it out last night. That fan base hasn't earned a stripe in a while. Incredible home effort, blew the roof off the building. Another three-game winning streak in the month of February. And fellas, they score a goal with the empty net. They come back. They get it done. They get a big win at home. And now they've got a chance to go for their fourth consecutive win on home ice against the Colorado Avalanche. It's a measuring stick game for what the rest of the season and the potential playoffs will be like. But the Nashville Predators right now, absolutely rolling.
You got to start believing that a win like this can really galvanize this team going forward. And I think there's some serious belief going on in that dressing room now that, you know, kind of like what we talked about, like you said, Charlie, that resiliency that they've been known for the last, you know, several years. I think it's back. You know, you look at a win like that. I mean, they were left for dead. They give, like you said, bad line change. They give up the go ahead goal with less than a minute to go, and you're thinking, wow, what a gut punch type loss this is going to be. But you know, they just kept grinding, got that goal with, you know, barely a tick left on the clock, and once they tied it, I strongly felt that they were gonna win this thing in overtime or a shootout, because, you know, with so much momentum, like you said, the crowd was going absolutely bat you know what mm-hmm. crazy. It felt like a playoff game.
Bat poo poo.
Yes, bat poo poo crazy. Thank you, Greg.
Never was, a doubt once it got to OT.
Oh yeah, yeah. You just knew, and I think Calgary knew too. It was like,
Calgary never
boys,
even got to touch the puck.
Let's just try to hang on and see if we can get something done in a shootout, but, you know, not to be. So,
and fellas,
a galvanizing win for the Preds. Charlie.
How about this for symmetrical season? It was an incredible month of October, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the best months we've seen from the Nashville Predators. They were flying high, top five offense, getting everything done right, good goaltending, Pekka-Rinne looking like he's going to be a Vezina finalist. All those things were happening until the Calgary Flames came in on Halloween and left with the Nashville Predators' hockey soul. A three-goal comeback, a tying game,
yep.
Tying goal late in the third, a game winner in OT by Tkachuk mm-hmm. at Bridgestone Arena. Here we come full circle with all the terrible things that happened to this Nashville Predators team between October and last night. The Flames come back to Bridgestone Arena, and Mikael Granlund takes the curse and reverses it with the tying goal, the OT winner, and now he takes the soul of the Nashville Predators back. They have what they've been searching for. Ryan Ellis told us a couple of games ago, we have a plan, mm-hmm. and it's coming together. We saw another step in that right direction last night. If the Predators have truly reversed that curse, the next month of the season will look a lot like October, and this team will be flying high going into the Western Conference playoffs.
I tweeted it last night. Superman wears Mikael Granlund underwear, and it got about 60 likes.
And the Terminator is jealous of Ryan Ellis's ability to go out there and skate on the ice. Another 25.
What, three assists last night?
0-4, plus three assists, you know. No problem. He's come back. 4 games, 6 points, and he skated, you know, a cool about hour and a half so far after being 7 weeks off with a concussion and not being able to even ride an exercise bike. He's showing Iron Man what it means to be an Iron Man.
Ryan Ellis comes in like a trade. We had talked about that. Mm-hmm. And then Granlund now, you know, the thought was, get, you know, he's at his peak right now, playing well, go get some assets down the road. But at $5.75 million is his base, and he's right now the
best.
He's earning every penny they're paying him right now.
I think
they could have traded him and brought him back.
Right.
Or they can let him play out this season, and they see, hey, this is a fit with Hines, with him, and vice versa, especially. Don't be surprised if he's back after this free agent thing.
Listen, David Poile's not in the Hockey Hall of Fame for nothing. I mean, this guy has a feel for his roster. He's got a feel for what his players can do. And like you said, who works well with who. And, you know, a lot of people were thinking at the trade deadline, like you said, maybe Granlund, maybe Craig Smith. But I think Poile believes in this group. And he believes if they can just get it going with the talent they have, they can make a serious dent this spring if they get into the playoffs. And, you know, I'm starting to believe now. A few weeks ago, I would have said there's no way this team's going to make the playoffs. But now, you know, how they're playing and the confidence that they seem to be building game in and game out. And like I said, I can't emphasize this enough. A game like last night will do wonders for a team's psyche. Right, Charlie? I mean, we've seen it, you know, not only in hockey, but in all kinds of sports. You get a dramatic win like that on home ice with the crowd going crazy. You start thinking there's no obstacle we can't overcome as a team if we stick together.
What does confidence do for any team? It brings them success. It brings them that swag.
Yep.
What have we not seen since October from this hockey club? We've not seen swag nor confidence. We've seen sad faces. We've seen tears in the locker room.
Crying after the Winter Classic.
We've heard about wake-up calls. You're seeing something very different last night. Mikael Granlund will be memed for all time for his post-game interview last night. Wow, hockey's fun. Perfect way to sum up the night. Mikhail Granlund, because it is fun.
Yeah.
And you don't hear a lot of athletes say that in their post-game interviews. That was an electric night, and it is something that can get a team rolling. We made an example yesterday. The 8th seed LA Kings. In the middle of March, they were barely hanging on to the fringes of being a wild card. They make it in. They barnstorm the entire league to a championship. The number 8 seed Preds a couple years ago, going to the number 1 seed Chicago. Oh, they don't have a chance. They sweep the Blackhawks. Continuing the momentum and the swag carries them all the way to Game 6 of a Stanley Cup Final. In the NHL,
St. Louis last year.
Just like any tournament, just like any sport, the team that's hot at the right time, and that means at the end of the season with the momentum, is the team that's going to make a run. This team, this Nashville Predators team, is significantly better talent-wise than the team that was an 8 seed a couple of seasons ago. If they get in, they have every opportunity to make a run, and right now, with under a quarter of a season to go, the playoffs are in their own hands. They play less games than the teams around them, and they're currently sitting in a spot, so what they have to do, handle their business, finish out this homestand. I cannot wait for this Avalanche game tomorrow night. It is definitely going to be one of the premier matchups in the league. Colorado scored 9 goals on this Nashville Predators team right after Calgary stole their soul at the end of October on their first trip to Denver. I look forward to a high-spirited affair with one of the top athletes in the league, Nathan MacKinnon, coming into Bridgestone Arena. 4 points against the Preds in that 9-goal game. You have to shut down that first line. Highly impressive young Colorado Avalanche team. Ever since the Preds knocked them out 2 years ago, they've been on the rise, and they're definitely trending towards contender.
Predators 72 points in that 8th spot, and as you mentioned, the 3 teams in front of them and the 2 teams behind them, at least 2 games in hand on all 5 of them. Right ahead of them, Preds at 72, Calgary 73, 2 games in hand, Edmonton at 74, 2 games in hand, Vancouver at 74, only 2 points back are the Preds, 3 games in hand there, and then you look right behind them, Winnipeg. Tied at 72, but with the tiebreaker in 8th are the Preds, 3 games in hand there, and even the Coyotes a couple back, 3 games in hand. So that's a total of the 5 teams, 2 behind and 3 ahead, a total of 13 games in hand spread across 5 teams.
Greg Pogue, you want to get even more nuts right here? Take a look at this for a second. The Calgary Flames, by picking up that point last night, yes, their wild card won. They're 1 point out of being the number 2 seed in the Pacific Division. 74 points for the Oilers, 70 points for the Canucks, and they're only 5 points off of being the division leader. The Pacific Division, by far the weakest, if the Preds end up as a wildcard team. And right now, I'm not ruling out the bottom of the division. Only 8 points behind Dallas, with a home-and-home coming up with the Stars, by the way, on the next Saturday and the following Tuesday. So that's something that could swing the Central Division here towards the end if Dallas starts to falter. But if the Preds have to be a wild card team, you want wild card 1. You want the Pacific Division bracket. Even though it's more travel, the division is wide open, and you could find yourself in the Western Conference Final in a hurry if the teams you're getting to face are Arizona, Calgary, and Vancouver on the way there.
All right. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Nashville SCGM, Mike Jacobs, going to join us. They're game tomorrow night against Atlanta United FC. 50,000 tickets have already been sold for that.
Mm.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, and we're looking forward to a new era, really, in Nashville professional sports. And, it's going to be just a crazy scene tomorrow with the opener against Atlanta United. Atlanta United, very good side, very good soccer club. But I think, it's going to be one of those – you're going to remember, if you're lucky enough to go to this match tomorrow, you're going to remember the experience for a long time. And, like I said, it's the start of a new era, and, professional soccer, major professional soccer is here. It's alive in Nashville, and it's going to be incredible tomorrow. And I think the buildup between now and then is going to be incredible as well. So, yeah, we're scheduled to speak with Mike Jacobs, the general manager of Nashville SC. They've done a lot this offseason to field what I think could be a very competitive side in year 1 in MLS. And so everybody's excited about it. You see the banners all over town. People are talking about it. So there's definitely a buzz in the air regarding Nashville SC.
College basketball last night, OVC style. Belmont holds on to beat Tennessee Tech 65-62. That ensures Belmont of at least the number two seed. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. Austin Peay beat Morehead State last night, and Murray State over Eastern Kentucky. TSU with the win over Morehead State. But what you have at 14-3, Belmont playing at TSU tomorrow night, and also Austin Peay and Murray Kentucky. Well, one of those two are going to lose, right? So that would put Belmont in a tie for first, yet they will not hold any tiebreakers. So they've actually nailed down the number two seed already with everything they've done, regardless of what they do tomorrow night at TSU. But Austin Peay, Murray State at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Belmont at TSU. I know I was watching that wide receiver from TCU. It's what I get for watching
the combine. How about Henry Ruggs last night?
Yeah, what a 4.27.
Yeah, just missed the record.
Is that good?
That's pretty fast from what I understand.
Yeah, John Ross.
That's in Deion Bo Jackson territory.
John Ross ran a 4.22.
Right.
And so he was
winning. Was that 2017?
Yep.
He ran that?
Yep. Yeah. And so the Alabama wide receiver.
Yeah, Ruggs was going for the record, so. See, you weren't paying attention to the combine. You said you weren't down with watching the combine.
I haven't watched a minute of it. I was doing basketball last night.
I understand that.
But I can
You didn't go home and catch some highlights.
I go on the internet and write down my notes, and that way I can at least talk intelligently about the lead, okay?
Well, that's debatable.
Yeah, well,
come on.
Well, I know I'm bragging. SEC tomorrow, Auburn at Kentucky's the premier game, 2:45 on CBS. Florida
News Channel 5.
That's right. CBS News Channel 5. Y'all are the affiliate, right? Florida UT at 1 o'clock on the SEC Network. Vanderbilt at Ole Miss at SEC as well. Tim Corbin yesterday. Of course, we've got all three of the series games with Hawaii, 4:30 today, 2 o'clock Saturday, 1 o'clock Sunday, 15 minutes out of each first pitch with the pregame. But inducted, or was it announced that he will be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame? Sort of a surprise yesterday.
Yeah, kind of. They kind of did him the way they did Jeff Fisher a couple weeks ago. You know, Coach Corbin was giving his weekly press conference previewing the series with Hawaii, and then our buddy Brad Willis came in and announced that he was going to be selected for induction into the 2020 Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, and he was really. I mean, we all know Tim very well. He's a very, very humble, understated guy. You know, a guy that deflects praise, and you know, he was left speechless. He got a little emotional yesterday because I think he realizes when you make that kind of an impact. I mean, what did Mark Twain say? The two greatest days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. And I think that was a day you find out why moment for Tim Corbin and his wife Maggie, and just the genuine humility and emotion that he showed upon learning, you know, that he was going into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame was really cool. And like I said, we've known Tim a number of years. He's a weekly guest on our show. We have the Vanderbilt games here on Nashville Sports Radio, and we're proud to have it as well. And I couldn't have been happier for him. You know, the two national championships, he's just a guy, he's fun to root for, and he gets it. So congratulations to Coach Corbin.
And you
well deserved.
And you mentioned Brad Willis. He survived the radio business and got out of it.
Good for him.
He's now the executive director of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Yes. Brad's a guy I've gotten to know the last couple of years. Great dude, man.
So, all right, that gets us going. We are at Goggin Cold Hall in Smyrna. Greg Pope, John Burton Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up at 10 o'clock thereabouts, Coach Tom Hodges. Since we were going to be here, we've moved his college basketball talk until today. So we'll be talking a little college hoops at the top of the next hour with none other than Tom Hodges. But after this break, Mike Jacobs, he is the general manager of Nashville SC, right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations and tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
What do you look for in a wine and spirits store? Selection and pricing? Check. Tasting opportunities? Check. Knowledge and helpfulness of the employees? Check, check, and check. Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood checks all of the boxes and more. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated when you walk through the doors. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. And they can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Hosting a party? Looking for gift ideas? Maybe you're just picking up a bottle of wine for dinner. Brinkman's Wine and Spirits is there for all your needs. From whiskey to vodka, champagne to Cabernet, they have it all. And don't forget, as the originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits. Located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
The exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Well, this morning, a stray flurry, maybe a rain shower this afternoon and evening, the high 48. Then a flurry late tonight with some clearing toward daybreak, the low 30. Plenty of sunshine Saturday, high 50. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
You never know what's going to happen, and neither do we. It's the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Goggin Cold Hall Studios, that's where Adam Johnson is. We are actually at Goggin Cold Hall for John Burton's maiden voyage. By the way, the last Friday of every month, Goggin Cold Hall feeds not only employees, but us, but people in the community. Welcome to come by, just hang out, and it's Fried Chicken Friday.
Hey, if you're hungry, come on by.
Yeah.
Hang out, eat some chicken.
Mm-hmm. And then go about your merry way.
Exactly.
Big weekend, history-making weekend.
Huge.
Over 50,000 tickets have already been sold for the MLS debut of Nashville SC against Atlanta United FC at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night. And we're joined now by the general manager of Nashville SC, Mike Jacobs. Hey, Mike, good morning. Hello, Mike, good morning.
Morning, how are you guys?
Hey, there you
Great.
Are. Well, so I'd almost think for you, is this would almost be like a kid on Christmas Eve, and there's a big package under the tree, and you already know what's in the package, but you're excited to open it anyway. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. You know, it's I'm just waiting for the alarm clock to go off, run down the steps, and see what's under the tree.
What will that be like tomorrow emotionally? Because obviously everything that you've put into it to get to this point.
You know, for our club, the last couple of years, these guys have really been names on magnets on a board. So to see them on the field together through preseason and leading up to this has been it's been an awesome project to be a part of. And, you know, I think personally to have this opportunity to – you know, the different roads that take you to get to this stage of your career, to get the opportunity to work at a club like this, to help build a roster like this, it's really been a dream come true.
You know, Mike, I've been involved in kind of building teams
teams from ground up. I know there was a little bit of a foundation from the USL version of Nashville SC, but what was the process like just putting this team together and getting ready for this day in terms of, you know, like I said, you know, bringing the players in and just kind of the whole thing starting from, you know, the foundation to where it is now?
You know, with the experience with the USL, you know, where there's very little actual carryover between the two different clubs, you know, I always refer to that experience as like this laboratory that I had personally for 2 years working with Gary Smith and getting a chance to see what kind of players, you know, he needs to be successful, to learn about his own tactics and things he does. And, you know, I think for Gary and I, it was a good experience for us to help create that foundation. And, you know, so much of what we've done over the last couple of years has been about trying to build a cohesion and come up with ideas about not only like certain type styles of players that'll fit together, but certain type people who will fit together also. And I think it's a loss sometimes in the team building process, you know, which people will kind of fit together and will be able to develop cohesion.
Yeah, you mentioned cohesion. Is that a big reason why Gary Smith was, you know, retained as head coach?
Well, you know, Gary and I were starting our third year together, so we've got a working relationship. And, you know, when you look at any sport, you know, the idea of the relationship between your head coach and general manager, I think if that's not a good fit, if you don't communicate well and understand each other, it's just not going to work. And, you know, for us, I think we just felt strongly that, you know, that Gary was the right guy for the job, and not just because of the success he had, you know, in a second division with the USL team, but, you know, the guys won an MLS Cup previously in Colorado. And for us, having people here, you know, seeing our roster as well, you know, with not only MLS experience, but with high expectations, you know, for us, you know, we're committed to succeed at every level, you know, on and off the field.
Mike Jacobs with us. He is the general manager of Nashville SC, opening up the first MLS season tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Atlanta United FC at Nissan Stadium. I know you spent 5 weeks or so in Florida training. You had 6 exhibition games, and consistently the responses from the opposition is that this team can be competitive right away. What should be our expectations be for year one?
Well, you know, first I would say as far as preseason, you know, for fans who are new to soccer, you know, Major League Soccer's preseason is very similar to Major League Baseball spring training, you know, where most teams descend to either Florida or Arizona for warmer weather for, a month and a half, 2 months. You know, the experience we had in Florida was really important for us to not only to continue to grow as a group, but to measure ourselves against other MLS teams in these exhibition games. And, you know, in regards to how to measure us or benchmark us, and we've kind of said all along that, you know, I think our goal is that when you look out in the field, you know, starting tomorrow night, and you see that one team is going to be an expansion team, the other is an existing team, you know, my hope is it'll be hard to tell the two apart. And, you know, to show that we kind of belong and we've arrived. And, you know, mentioned feedback we got from other teams, you know, defeating teams like Montreal and Cincinnati, tying teams like DC United. You know, the feedback I got from people was they were surprised how quickly we kind of looked like everybody else.
Mike, with that being said, what a way to open your MLS season and schedule against a really good side like Atlanta United FC. This team's been one of the better teams in the MLS over the years. A great way, to kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah, look, there's no better way to kickstart it, you know, other than in front of 50 to 60,000 of your closest friends and, you know, bringing, you know, one of the top teams in the league. And we've got a lot of respect for what Atlanta's accomplished so far. You know, the attacking triumvirate they have of Joseph Martinez and Pity Martinez and Barco are as good as any in the league. And, you know, we've got a lot of respect for what kind of challenge they posed us.
And also the fact that, you know, this could be a budding regional rivalry, right? I mean, you know, when these two sides play each other, I think, you know, the travel, the fans will travel back and forth up and down the major highways to go check these matches out. That should be a lot of fun as well.
In any sport, it's great to have rivalries like that. And look, I'm born and raised in New York, and you know, you kind of grow up, you know, learn to hate the Red Sox. You know, and,
amen, brother.
You
got two Yankee fans. You got two Yankee fans here with me and Charlie. So yeah, we feel you on that
It's good to hear. I would say, you know, you know, we as a club and as a city, you know, built around things like Southern hospitality. You know, to have rivals, you know, in close proximity like Atlanta, I think it's great for our fans and our community. But, you know, I think that Southern Hospitality will end right around kickoff tomorrow when we start kicking those guys.
And, Mike, with me, it's sort of like when the Predators came here. I knew how important it was going to be, and I sought out to learn. I think that's where I am right now as I absorb all the stuff about soccer at this level. And one thing that is, you know, and different things stick out of my mind that you know, say, what, you know, it's something I didn't know. How important is the anthem for your team? Because there's been a lot made about that, you know, the new anthem, you know, by the MLS and all of that, to have all of the rituals that go in to being an MLS team.
Well, I think the advantage we might have over maybe the Predators when they first started, and you know, I got a chance to sit down with David and Brian Poyle when I first got named as a general manager, and talked about what it was like coming here as an expansion team. You know, I think what we have maybe in soccer that maybe we didn't have here in hockey 18, 20 years ago are our first generation soccer families. You know, you do have families here that grew up playing the game themselves in high school and club soccer, have raised families here, and now have children playing soccer. And you know, I think the idea of having first-generation soccer families really helped. And, you know, I would say about our sport in general, it's a very tribal sport from the standpoint. In this country, I'd probably compare it more to college football than anything else from the standpoint that, you know, people grow up supporting their club and their city and their town. And, you know, the idea of having certain chants, having an anthem, having scarves, you know, and you know, replica jerseys that fans wear, that's associated with soccer all over the world. And, you know, I think when you see us wearing Nashville's colors, you know, in gold and navy, you know, I will not be surprised to see a lot of NSC gold around the city this weekend.
Talking with Mike Jacobs, the general manager of Nashville SC. Mike, how about the process of just putting the team together in terms of, you know, acquiring players? You know, you guys set a record for allocation money to get Walker Zimmerman. Looks like you guys did very well in the expansion draft. What was that process like? How nerve-wracking was it, and how much fun was it?
The fun is, you know, it keeps going, and you know, I get asked about that. You know, I say it's like this honeymoon, you know, that's still going on, and you know, I've never been somewhere where every day you're excited to be at work. You know, as it's been here, and you know, the idea of this process. For us, you know, we're very thoughtful about how we went about doing this, and you know, we look a lot at best practices, and you know, you can look at what teams have done really well as expansion teams, and you know, we have one coming in this weekend in Atlanta, you know, that was an outstanding expansion team in their first year, but you know, we also learn a lot about what things not to do, you know, from maybe previous expansion teams that have not had success, and you know, the reality is, you know, you can count on your hands, you know, the number of expansion teams that have been successful in year one. You know, it's in any sport. I think it's just a reality of the fact that you're new and it takes time to build things up on and off the field. And for us, I think we've been very thoughtful and strategic about how we tried to build our roster.
And as you built that roster, obviously a lot of the things going on with the new stadium at the fairgrounds, and now that we know for sure what's going to be happening there, that has concluded and everything. Any of that, did you worry about distraction putting together this team, or are you just worried about getting on the pitch and winning games?
Honestly, you know, from our end, we're working on building the roster and a team on the field. You know, we leave building the stadium for those who are working on that.
That's a good response. I didn't think he wanted to come on today to talk city politics.
No, I didn't. This has been very much front and center.
It's the elephant in the room. Yeah, I know.
50,000 at least tomorrow. When people hear that, non-traditional soccer fans, that turns their heads, okay, right away.
Yep.
Are you surprised, 50,000 plus?
Look, I mean, I mentioned growing up in New York and growing up in the 70s, and, you know, in the shadows of Giants Stadium. I was a Cosmos ball boy and watched guys like Pelé play, you know, in front of, you know, 70,000, 80,000 fans. You know, to think that we could be doing this here again in our country, in our city in Nashville, it's just humbling to think that this could happen. And I think it's probably more of a surprise to the layman who aren't haven't been as exposed to soccer. And I think here in Nashville, it's important for fans to realize that, you know, it's not like this is something that's growing. It's here. I mean, soccer's here, MLS is here. And to get crowds like this, I mean, this is only the beginning for us.
Amazing stuff.
Well, Mike, what a night it's going to be tomorrow night. 50,000 plus. Looks like the clouds are going to break and you're going to have a nice evening, some sunshine. So, and then into the night, what a night. Congratulations.
Yeah,
to everybody.
We're really looking forward to it, Mike. Congratulations to you. Great job.
Yeah, you and Gary, and certainly for John Ingram and the foresight with this ownership group. It's a pretty cool deal to have MLS debuting in Nashville tomorrow night.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Mike Jacobs.
Yep.
Tomorrow at 50,000. That, when I say that to people who don't know,
yeah,
and I'm on, if there's the line, I'm on the don't know side.
Right.
I'm trying to get to the middle. 50,000 people.
And, you know,
at least
Mike kind of referred to it. I mean, he normally expansion MLS teams don't do very well in year one. It looks like he's doing everything he can to field a very highly competitive team. Year one in MLS, and you know, like you said, Atlanta United is a measuring stick. So I don't know if we'll get a concrete feel about what this team is like after one game. But if they're competitive, or if they come out with a victory tomorrow night, man, this town's going to explode.
They're opening up even more sections over there at the Nissan Stadium, which could allow up to 60,000 if the weather does break and it's a better weather day. The casual fan hearing the story will walk up to that box office and pick up some tickets and a measuring stick on and off the field. Atlanta, perfect. They bring 80,000 into the bends down there, and now they're going to start playing here on a regular basis. Bring all of your people up the interstate. Come on here. We'll do the same for you, and let's get a good rivalry going. Looking forward to it, fellas, and with the Predators game downtown tomorrow night, if Nashville SC sells a few more tickets, you're talking about a night that could have 75,000 sports fans in downtown Nashville, and it's not even the SEC tournament yet.
Yeah, man. And
that's a huge Saturday night city.
Home Preds game tomorrow, and man.
Bartenders, servers, everyone's going to be making money. Everyone's going to be happy.
Trust me, I know a lot of them. A lot of them are friends of mine. They're excited about tomorrow because this is their slow period right now, and they're trying to get through that and get to the SEC tournament and beyond. So this will be a huge help, man.
Fellas, one more thing. Here's going to be the fun thing to track. Let's say they sell 60,000 with walk-up by the end of this thing. 5 years from now, when the thing is a success, they have their home stadium. We'll be on the radio, and people will be talking about how there was 200,000 people there.
Yeah.
The amount of people who will be admitting to have been there will be in the 300,000 range. I hope nothing but success for this new franchise, because anytime sports is successful, our city does good business, and we are all more successful.
Well, it's what we do for a living, is we cover sports, so the more the merrier, right?
And the new stadium will seat 30,000, which will put a premium on those seats. You know,
right? So. When I used to work for an expansion arena football league team in Buffalo, and you know they played at the arena where the Sabres played, and our motto was, you know, 500,000 football fans in Western New York, only, you know, what was it? However many, you know, 28,000 seats, you do the math. And that's what it's going to be once this new stadium gets open. It's going to be like, hey, you want in, you better get in and do it in a hurry, or you're going to be left out.
Yeah, and one thing he said, it's not coming, it's here.
It's here.
It's here.
Right.
So that I thought that was a cool
statement. As a minor league team, they consistently drew 10,000 over at a baseball park to watch minor league soccer. If you can continue to build upon that, now that it's at the MLS level, they've got something impressive. And, fellas, by the way, they're neighbors once they get their new stadium from the Goggin Coldhall Studios. They're going to be just down the block over there at the fairgrounds. So looking forward to having them in the neighborhood.
615-844-5600. We're wide open till the top of the hour. You want to give us a call? We are at Goggin Cold Hall this morning. Going to talk a little college basketball next hour with Tom Hodges. Take your calls now. 615-844-5600.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine. The most romantic steakhouse
Steakhouse in Nashville and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In the heart of downtown Nashville, the Southern Steak and Oyster is a unique and animated eatery that offers an authentically Southern adventure with a twist. Whether it be breakfast, lunch, dinner, weekend brunch, the Southern Steak and Oyster has a variety of dining experiences. Visit thesouthernnashville.com to peruse menus, make reservations, purchase unique products, or book business and private parties. Located at 153rd Avenue South, the Southern Steak and Oyster offers free valet or validated self-park. Give the Southern Steak and Oyster a call at 615-724-1762 or visit thesouthernnashville.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Jim Rome's got opinions.
The Niners got to the Super Bowl because of their running game, and they were leading in the Super Bowl because of their running game, and then their play action, and then they started going heavy pass. That said, take nothing from Kansas City. San Francisco didn't lose that game. Kansas City won that game. They made huge plays in huge moments, and sometimes you just have to tip your cap and give somebody some bleeping credit.
The Jim Rome Show, weekday mornings starting at 11 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
It's the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie, we're all hanging out at Goggin Cold Hall down in Smyrna, right off of I-24. Adam Johnson back in the Goggin Cold Hall studios. Yesterday, at the Combine, Arizona State punter, have you seen this?
I have.
Michael Turk on the 225 bench press, 25 reps for a punter, okay? That beat every wide receiver and every tight end but one. Let me, some perspective, okay?
Yep.
Michael Turk, 25 reps at 225. Jadeveon Clowney, 21 in 2014. DeMarcus Lawrence, 20 in 2014. Michael Bennett, 24 in 2009.
Saquon Barkley, 28 2 years ago, so that's only three off. Yeah, and this is a punter.
Is
he a punter or a kicker? Punter.
He's a punter.
Yeah.
And now be a special teams player. They'll sit him down and he'll punt and go and go tackle people.
Yeah, he'll be the gunner on he'll punt the ball and he'll be the gunner at the same time on the outside. Of going course, to chase down the return.
You notice that last name, his uncle is Matt Turk, a longtime NFL
who was a
punter.
Big, strong punter for a long time. I know he punted for the Washington Redskins, a bunch of other teams. Yeah, I remember seeing Turk. He had, like, huge arms. He was just in big chest. He was a big dude, man. So, you know, this Turk kid comes from a good gene pool. That's pretty impressive, 25 reps on the old bench press.
How many can you do?
2 1/4?
Yeah.
I'd need to warm up a little bit.
Think you get 20?
No. I could probably get 12.
Okay. Well, that's 12 more than I can do. Alabama wide receiver Henry Ruggs, the 4.27, the 4.22, obviously by Ross, right? 2017. So what, a half a second off?
Right. I did see a little bit of Jarrett Pinkney. I know his first 40 was not very good. He ran a 5 flat. Which you'd like to see that, you know, below 5 for a tight end, and especially for a good athlete like Jarrett Pinkney. I didn't see what Dom Wood Anderson ran, the former Tennessee tight end, but I did see Pinkney's first 40 time was 5 flat. I know you get to run a second one. I didn't get to see what he ran, but I thought he did pretty well in the gauntlet drill. That's where they, you know, you run the width of the field instead of the length, and you just, you turn one way, you catch a pass, you put the ball down, you know, turn the other way.
Constant motion.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the majority of the tight ends and wide receivers that I saw run the gauntlet, I saw very few balls hit the ground. So guys came in focused and ready. And we did the story last week out at Boost Fitness where a lot of guys were getting ready for the combine with their little, you know, mini training camp out there. And so these guys, you know, in the old days, you just showed up and it was like, all right, we'll measure you. You'll run, you'll lift, and, you know, we'll call you. Now these guys, you know, they hire trainers. They, you know, they go away to these training camps. They're real strict with their diets because they know that, you know, there's a big job interview, right? You got to be prepared for it. So I was pretty impressed. I mean, look, the biggest thing about the combine that the scouts and the general managers and head coaches will say, the biggest thing, number one, is the medical. You know, you got to make sure there's no existing conditions, no lingering injuries. You know, that's the biggest thing. And they take a lot from what they see in the combine, but it's not the end-all, be-all, right? Jerry Rice didn't run a very good 40-yard time.
No, it's got to be film.
But I've never
What's
seen,
on film?
But yeah, exactly. It's the film. I've never seen Jerry Rice get caught from behind, you know, in the open field. Yeah, it is. The tape is the most important thing, but what you see at the combine and what you know, when these kids do work out and run and lift and all that, it's almost like a reaffirmation of what they saw on film, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? It's just kind of reaffirming, okay, this kid's an athlete. He's got good fast twitch. He's got good recovery. He's got good hand-eye coordination. You know, it kind of confirms what they see on the tape.
Well, and they're all going to look at them again at their own, you know, their own pro days and everything. Joe Burrow and Tua did not practice, didn't participate. Rather, Tua, obviously, the injury. Joe Burrow, they couldn't find a football small enough.
But Joe Burrow was smart. Here's why he was smart. And then somebody else said this. I heard this elsewhere. If I'm Joe Burrow, and I, you know, my place is pretty secure. Why would I go and throw and then watch Justin Herbert throw rocket balls all over the field because I know my arm's not as strong as Justin Herbert? I don't need anybody to be persuaded, you know, by what Justin Herbert did because he was throwing darts yesterday.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and Jacob Eason all look pretty good.
Yeah, and Jordan Love's a guy that they're talking about now, kind of moving his way up. A guy, we don't watch a lot of Utah State football, but you know, the book on him is that he could be one of those sleeper guys in the right system in the NFL with the right amount of weapons, good offensive line. He could be an effective NFL quarterback. So kind of a guy you want to keep your eye on, I guess.
All right, we'll take a break. Hey, you want to give us a call after it, please do. 615-844-5600.
Your local sports leader. Swing and a drive deep to right field. Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR, on 95.9 FM.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Coldhall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Coldhall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Hall, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com. nashvillesportsradio.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Gog and Coldhall, the coldest team in town.
Hey, have you seen the new cyber threat warning about the conversation
hijacking? Totally. Cyber criminals are using email account takeover and brand impersonation to insert themselves into email conversations and steal money from businesses.
Right. That's why I tell my clients about
Barracuda. Same here. They use artificial intelligence to detect and block sophisticated attacks, including account takeover and brand impersonation.
Man, I guess you did see it.
Don't become a victim. Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
I'm Eric Opron, Managing Director of the Omni Nashville Hotel. I want to personally invite you to experience the local flavor of Music City at our award-winning property. From our one-of-a-kind culinary outlets to the ultimate luxury of our full-service Mokara Spa, Omni Nashville offers something for everyone. Whether it's the Biscuit Bar in our Southern-inspired Kitchen Notes restaurant or our upscale Honky Tonk bar lines, or if you prefer a romantic dinner, visit Bob's Steak and Chop House. Come on down and see us at 250 Fifth Avenue South, located in the heart of the Sobro District.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. For today, expect mostly sunny skies, high near 44 degrees. For the Thursday evening and overnight hours, a slight chance of flurries, possible rain and snow, increasing clouds, low around 35 degrees. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Get in on the Greg Pogue and John Burton show. Obviously, you have nothing else going on. 615-844-5600.
Well, neither do we, right? Greg Pogue, John Burton, crazy.
I'm having the time of my life, man. I'm here at Gog and Coldhall hanging out with my two best friends, Greg Pogue,
Fried
Crazy
Chicken
Charlie.
Friday coming. This
Got
is your bad day, coming. Right? This is your
this
bad
is,
day.
This is cheat day.
Cheat day is
yeah.
what you call it?
Yep.
I'm working on a cheat decade.
Well, ideally, you only want to do maybe one or two cheat meals a week. You don't want to make it a whole day.
I'm making a decade out of it.
Fair enough.
Let me tell you about Kitchen Notes. So you can eat very healthy there, as a
yes.
matter of fact.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, Charlie asked me the other day, you know, we're talking about breakfast, and, you know, we always talk about the buffet for breakfast, 6:30 to 11, lunch 11 to 2, supper 5 to 10, that Sunday brunch, just totally amazing, especially on holidays mm-hmm. Coming up, Easter. And anyway, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., they got the quarter note, they got the half note, a couple private areas that you can, you know, just sort of block off for your own deal if it's family or business. But I've been highlighting more of the things you can order off the menu for breakfast instead of the buffet, which is excellent. Crab cake Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The honky tonk omelet. Steak and eggs. You're a protein guy.
Oh, steak and eggs are a staple for meatheads like me.
Right. Eggs Benedict. How about that? That's with a smoked pork loin, the other white meat. This is something I get quite often. I get the smoked salmon. It's under the fruits, dairy, and grains, so everything under that should be healthy, right?
Salmon is a great source of omega-3s, mm-hmm. good essential fats.
But you get a toasted bagel, tomatoes, red onions, chopped egg, capers and cream cheese, and then the smoked salmon is sushi is sushi grade.
Yeah.
So
throw a little fried egg in that bad boy, you're ready to go.
What am I talking about? Kitchen Notes, Nash. I tried to sound like I was from Jersey, didn't pull it off, did I?
No, you did not.
I didn't even come close.
The Kentucky boy trying to sound like he's from Jersey.
just blew that one. KitchenNotesNashville.com. They got that complimentary valet parking going on all the time as well. So, tell you what, big one last night for the Preds. We talked about that early. A big weekend in the OVC. Ooh. Are you kidding me?
I love the OVC
Austin,
I'm so into the OVC right now.
Austin Peay and Murray State play tomorrow night for the league championship with Belmont. They're also at 14-3. They've got to go to TSU.
Right.
TSU won last night, mm-hmm. clinched fifth. I will be telling you that I will be going to Evansville Wednesday. TSU will be playing 6:30 on Wednesday night against the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And should it win that one, they advance to Thursday night at 6:30 to play the 4 seed Eastern Kentucky. I like that draw. Here's why. If you win that first game mm-hmm. and you're going to play one of the top four seeds, mm-hmm. you'd want it to be Eastern Kentucky instead of Belmont, Murray State, or Austin Peay.
Yeah.
So, but I tell you, I got snapped off a little bit by Penny Collins in the post game last night. Yeah, I said, you know, I did the say, and then, you know, they were playing for fifth, and they won. Morehead State lost, so they nailed down fifth. They've been in fifth for about 6 weeks.
Right.
There's only five teams in the conference over 500. They're one of them.
Right.
It wasn't that I congratulated him, but hey, you know, you're in fifth place and everything. He didn't say anything. He said, "We're not going to celebrate fifth place."
I can picture, you know, Penny saying that.
Yeah, we're not going to celebrate fifth place. And I said, "Well, let me try something different with you, Coach." This time last year, you weren't going to the OVC tournament. You are this year.
Right.
That's something to celebrate. And so he lightened up a little bit.
He's done a tremendous job there. And you know, I think, you know, it's the process, right?
Yeah. We got 9:58. I don't think we have time for Jeff of the Borough, but next hour we're going to be talking college basketball with Tom Hodges. So, Jeff, if you can, you know, come back, if you got college basketball, which you usually do right now.
Yeah, hang in there, Jeff. Yep, we'll get to you, man. Yep,
we got Tom Hodges talking college basketball next hour. Jeff, and anybody else that wants to talk college basketball with Coach Tom Hodges, that's how you can find him on Twitter, at Coach Tom Hodges.
I follow him.
So we will – well, good, John. Good. But anyway, hour number two coming up. It is Fried Chicken Friday at Goggin Coldall. Come visit.